Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Hi, thank you for tuning in with us at the Better Together podcast. I am one of your hosts, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm your other host, Callie Picardo. Glad you're with us today.
We are so glad that you're tuning in. We've been just sharing on different felt needs. We've asked people to reach out to us. Let us know what you want to hear. And so we've addressed some different topics, whether it's dating, whether it's family dynamics, anger,
friendships, perfectionism, dealing with anxiety and depression. And today we are dealing with a topic that I feel like I would say I'm in recovery for, but it's one day at a time, and that is people pleasing. I'm a recovering people pleaser, and by God's grace, I'm growing, but it's still something that I feel like in different seasons comes up in different ways, and I'm like, oh, there's that old friend again.
And so, you know, people pleasing comes in different forms. We know this, and for you, it probably stemmed out of your personality, Enneagram 1.
More the perfectionism type, like I want to be perfect and have people think I'm perfect and, you know, have that affirmation that I'm doing the right thing. It's also tied to my love language, though. If any of you all have looked at the five love languages, Gary Chapman, I believe, did that and talks about, you know, there's words of affirmation is one of them. And that is my love language, which is a great and healthy, positive thing as long as it doesn't become an addiction.
And so for you, the people pleasing, when did that start, would you say?
Oh my goodness. I'm sure as a small child. I mean, what child doesn't want their parents' approval to hear, hey, good job, you did it. I mean, it makes us feel good. Like we did things well. Like we have that love, you know, we want that love. We want that affirmation. And there's such a good side to it. But at some point it started to shift toward, oh, I need that affirmation. I need that approval. And honestly, it was a big part of my story of when God got a hold of my life. I grew up in an awesome family with very supportive parents and was the straight A student, you know, went to a smaller school where my ninth grade year, I was the only girl on the boys soccer team. So, you know, kind of got special attention there and had a great group of friends. And all of a sudden I went to a new school in 10th grade. And actually moved away from home for school. And so I didn't have my parents right there anymore encouraging me. I was all of a sudden this little Southerner from Kentucky up at a school in New England where a culture shock for me. And so I also didn't have my group of friends. You know, I was coming in as a sophomore. I made some friends, but it took me longer to break in. Did not have straight A's anymore. You know, it was tough academically and I was trying to keep up. And I'd found my worth in so many of those other things, you know, having the approval of teachers, having the approval of parents. You know, in middle school, I always had a little boyfriend and I got to my new school and I didn't have a single guy like me. And I realized, oh, I'd found my worth in guys too. And I'd found my worth in so many other things. And all of a sudden it felt like those had all been pulled away from me. But it was in that void. I was just crying out to God. And I felt like God said, Callie, your worth is in me. It's not in what anyone else thinks of you. It is in your identity as a child of God. I love you. I love you. I love you. And it just, that started a journey of finding my worth in God and not in others that I'm still on. And when I, you know, dealt with that in college, then I got my first job out of college and all of a sudden I was dealing with wanting my boss's approval and realizing, oh, there's that people pleasing coming out again. So how do you surrender there? And then you have kids and it's like, oh, you know, trying, you know, I can't find my worth in what my kids think of me because their moods change. And so it just keeps taking different forms. But the more I surrender it to God and the more I fill myself up with what who God says I am, the more I'm freed from it. But it's definitely a one day at a time journey.
And I think for me, of course, I didn't grow up as a perfectionist, and you know, I never got anybody's approval in terms of teachers and parents and all that kind of fun stuff. But for me, it happened later as I matured in my faith and followed Jesus, and of course, went into vocational ministry as a pastor. I want to be liked. I can't think of anybody who doesn't want to be liked. And I think I became a people pleaser because that's what I thought you should do. I thought that's what ministry, that's the fruit of ministry, is people are happy with you. And then I discovered quickly that you could do everything right. You can bend over backwards and still be rejected or not live up to somebody's expectation. And so I've had to adjust what is a healthy expectations that I could put on myself. And how do I fulfill others' expectations when maybe those are unrealistic or unhealthy? And so I've had to remind myself that some people are going to get mad. Some people are going to get angry with me. And I don't need to fix anything. And that's the number one lesson that I've learned is I don't need to come in for the save. I don't need to fix a situation right away. Or
you don't have to be the savior?
I don't have to die for the church. And giving myself permission for that. And I don't need to own somebody else's baggage. I have to let them own it. And I can give them the steps and the tools that they need. But if you're constantly having maybe the same conversation with a friend or, you know, an acquaintance on how they want to maybe change a behavior or do something, start that business, whatever it is. And if you've had about 10 conversations with them and they're never taking any intention, then you don't really need to own the blame in any of that.
So what are some other ways that people pleasing, what could be some other things? Maybe people aren't dealing with the perfectionism or the need to fix people's problems. But I think one that comes to mind is, you know, with stuff, like, are we buying things to win the approval of others? Are we trying to climb the corporate ladder? Are we finding our worth in our title, our position, our work? Are we finding our worth in our stuff and what others think of us because we have the latest iPhone, we have the latest, nicest car, you know? And Rose, you asked a challenging question a while ago. And
would I make a purchase that I wanted if no one else would ever see it? So would I buy the car that I have, and would I buy the clothes that I have, even if no one else ever saw it, but I liked it? I think the people-pleasing comes in many forms. You know, we want the acknowledgement. We want the approval. And so for me as an Enneagram 3, I'm not the rule follower, but I'm the achiever. I'm the go-getter. When is enough in terms of accomplishments? In, you know, receiving people's acceptance or accolades? Am I doing something because God is calling me to do it? Or am I doing it because it's expected of me or I can gain acceptance by people?
And sometimes people pleasing comes out in codependency.
Yep.
You know, you see that in a lot of codependent relationships where someone's, you know, in a relationship often with someone that's an addict, they're constantly trying to find their worth in helping and saving that person and taking care of them. Sometimes it comes out in trying to, you know, please parents that maybe aren't even alive anymore. Please someone who's been a critic in the past, trying to like prove that what they said was wrong, that you are good enough. And really with people pleasing, the biggest antidote I've found is finding your worth in God. That is the only antidote, is when you're so filled up with God's love, with God's word for you, that nothing anyone else says or thinks matters, because you know how loved you are by God, that he went to the cross to die for you, and would have done it just for you. And he would go to the cross to die for you again if he needed to, because he loves you so much. And even when we don't know him yet, or even when we're straying far from him, he is that relentless God pursuing us with his love. One of the verses that of scripture that has become kind of a life verse for me is Galatians 1:10. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of people or of God, or am I seeking to please people? If I'm still seeking to please people, I am not being a servant of Christ. That's a verse that always convicts me. It's like, oh my goodness, I want to be a servant of Christ. Like, but when I'm my people pleasing becomes my focus, my identities and others, I'm doing what I'm doing because of what someone else wants me to do rather than doing what God wants me to do, or afraid to do what God wants me to do because what might others think of me if I, if God said, hey, I want you to go do this. And I'm like, but what will they think? They think I'm crazy if I just go up, call them out of the blue, or if I go up to that stranger that I don't even know. But if God's saying, I want you to do this, what might God want to do?
So there are some steps that we can, you know, really come down to looking at our identity. And so am I living into someone else's image of what my life should be like or the decisions I make? Or am I living into what God is calling me to do and how to discern that? You know, are we willing to live with people not always happy with us and not meeting their expectations, even if that means that we are taking back our life or our health or whatever it might mean? It might mean enforcing boundaries with your friendships and relationships.
One of the things that's helped me just knowing that my tendency is to be a people pleaser is I will often surround myself with people that are very blunt and say whatever they're thinking, because it helps me be more confident in being truthful and just cutting to the chase and not beating around the bush, not being passive aggressive, but saying, hey, here's how I'm feeling. And the funny thing is I've noticed the more I'm around friends like that, the bolder I get. But my people pleasing actually helps me deliver some hard truths because I'm used to being able to cover them in love. But being around those truth tellers has actually been one of the things that has helped me in my recovery process.
So if you're really struggling with people pleasing, whether it's, you know, just your interactions socially, or whether it's, you know, the decisions you make or your motivation for doing something, maybe take some time and examine and reflect on your relationships and friendships and really why you do the things you do.
Ask yourself some probing questions. Why do you feel the emotions you do? Why do you have the response you do? And kind of dig a little deeper. I do a lot of journaling. We've shared before, we both meet with spiritual directors that help us probe a little deeper, help us uncover our why, what's our motive behind the responses that we do almost without thinking. And now this is not a go out and be a jerk message. There's a way to be loving, to care for others, to be kind, even when you're saying no and setting those boundaries. You still might have people upset with you, but there's a way to do it in love. And there is a, you want to be kind to people. You want to exhibit the fruits of the spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it should be an overflow of God's love, and letting God love those other people through you. And sometimes it is going to be disappointing them, but when God is your first priority and you're trusting, okay, God, you love that person even more than I do. So God, I need you to move in their heart and heal whatever they're upset about and whatever they're dealing with in their life.
So our prayer and hope is that God will set you free, and please share this podcast with anybody that you think really needs to hear it. And as always, remember, you and I, we together are better together.
We love you. Have a great week.
God bless.